Jesus is Lord. Welcome to God's house. As I like to say, this is his favorite place to be on Sabbath morning. And I'm so glad that he's got thousands of other favorite places to be on Sabbath morning too. I don't know how that works. Someday I hope to have a better understanding. But right now, that's good enough for me. This time of the year, the Christian community focuses on some very important parts of what God has done for the world and us through Jesus. And it's so easy to just let it flow by, not really pay any attention, because it was so long ago. But some very important things happened 2,000 some years ago. The faith that was exhibited by the heroes of the Old Testament was ratified. It no longer was a question. In those thousands of years before the cross, there was still a question. Friday morning, a group of us met here in our fellowship hall to plan a worship service. And we talked together and strategized and exchanged ideas, and when we were done, we had a program assembled. And I want you to imagine in your mind God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They put a plan together from the distance of eternity when something should go wrong. They had a plan to work through that situation. And can you imagine what took place in the councils of heaven when Adam and Eve decided to trust themselves instead of God? They had an emergency ADCOM meeting. Because now, the plans that they had discussed needed to be put into action. None of these things that have happened has been an accident or a surprise. And neither are any of you an accident or a surprise. And nothing that happens to you has caught God unaware. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 139:16. I'm going to be in the NIV. Psalms 139:16. I think it's important to understand that the same attention to detail that the God of heaven and the Trinity put into the plan to provide for us a path to restoration is every bit as detailed as the plan that he has for each of us. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You're not a surprise. You're not an accident. And I'm sorry that I don't have the reference for you. You can get it from me later. But my favorite female author writes that she's talking about Jesus, that nothing came to him but by the permission of his Father. And then she says, likewise, for the committed child of Christ, nothing can touch you without his permission. God doesn't cause evil. God did not create evil. God is not evil. And why he allows the things to touch us that he does, most of the time we can't answer. But what's important to understand is that we can trust this guy. Okay? He's trustworthy. That's where we got off the track to begin with, not trusting him. That's why when I visited with Caleb, I was just so profoundly blessed to see in him such a transformation and such peace. He wasn't worried about a thing. It was just incredible. And we get a picture into the window of Jesus. And what was getting ready to happen to him. Let's bow our hearts. Papa, it's important that you explain yourself to us in words that we can understand. I know about everybody else, but I'm very, very thick and very, very dull and very, very slow. Thank you for your patience as you continue to tell us and explain to us your purposes and your plans, because oftentimes it doesn't feel good down here at all. So thank you for speaking your good news to hearts, no matter what I say. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was real with his friends. Didn't try and hide anything. He told them all along what was going to be happening. So it shouldn't have been a surprise to them. Are we any different? He tells us all the time what's going to happen. It's called the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. Are we listening? Do we understand? So this morning, I just want to focus a little bit on this week before Jesus' crucifixion. It was a busy week. There was the, we like to call it the triumphal entry. And I think it's interesting that you can see a glimpse of the control that heaven had over this whole thing that was getting ready to happen to Jesus. Now we're in Luke chapter 19. If I'm wrong, you have to bear with me. There we go. We're in verse 30 of chapter 19 of the book of Luke. Jesus is speaking, and he's telling them, go into the village next to you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Sounds like he's sending his disciples to steal an animal. He knew right where the animal was. He knew just exactly what animal he wanted. And they said, Lord. Oh, and he said, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? Why are you stealing my animal? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, Just before this, Jesus was confronted by two blind men. Now you would think it's obvious that they wanted to have their sight. What a gentleman, Jesus. He asked them what they would like to have done. Maybe they wanted a sandwich, or maybe they needed a back rub. He didn't just automatically assume that because they were blind, they wanted to see. And I've learned in my short life that when I show up somewhere believing that I'm called to be there and taking the blessing of heaven there with me, that it's a serious mistake to assume that I know what they want or what they need. Because oftentimes, I don't have a clue. So I have to apologize for that ignorance in the past, but that's the reality of our lives. And here's Jesus, God's own Son, asking two blind men what they wanted him to do for them. And then we move into this piece. I want you to see this piece about the colt. I think it's very important. Because the things that happened to Jesus during his life, and especially the last week and the last hours of his life, I believe that that was all planned out and choreographed by the Trinity before it ever happened. The devil thought he was having a field day. He thought he was in charge finally. He thought he was going to get the upper hand at last. He was being sucked down a tunnel of self-destruction. The things that happened to Jesus did not happen by accident. I mean, Scripture, it prophesied that he'd be riding on a colt. It prophesied that in Isaiah 53, it says, "Who hath believed our report?" There's an indication that most of the people that heard the message that he brought and witnessed the work that he did would not believe. They would question it. And we look at the disciples, his closest inner circle. He told them repeatedly that he was going to die. And if they got a glimpse of it at all, they'd argue with him and tell him, "It can't be that way." I can just imagine the back of their minds, "We know different. You came here to be a king. When's that going to happen? It can't be like you're saying. That's not what we know. That's not what we've been taught. That's not what we've learned." And we can see the humanity of Jesus. He was truly human. "Now is my soul troubled." Back to John chapter 12. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour." Jesus was born to die. That's why he came. It's interesting. Statistics are fun sometimes. When you look at the four Gospels, there's two chapters in two of the Gospels, I think it's Matthew and Luke, that talk about Jesus' birth. Two chapters in each of those Gospels. In the four Gospels, there's 56 chapters that talk about his ministry. And there's 28 chapters that talk about his resurrection. So if you look at Christ's example, he tells us to follow where he leads us. It's important to remember that the larger focus of the Gospels is on his ministry. We're called to ministry. Each one of you is a minister. You know that. And no ministry is exactly the same, but it's a part of the whole that makes up the good news that Jesus is in love with you. And the resurrection. What a story. Last night at Crowley County, the guys are struggling with this thought that's new to most of them, that when you die, you're dead. And one of them was telling the group about his daughter, because the inmate's dad had just died. She said, you know, I'm not sure I like this idea of him being up in heaven. That means he can see me when I'm naked taking a shower. I don't want Grandpa to see me like that. When you accept the lie that the devil told, the whole story of Scripture gets cockeyed and heads off into the weeds. And then it's difficult to understand correctly some of the things that are said in Scripture. So we had an extreme conversation about the fact that when it looks like the Scripture is contradicting itself, there's not a problem with Scripture, there's a problem with my understanding. And understanding is a growth process. So it's important when we hang out with each other that we recognize that none of us has been given a complete picture. In fact, one of them asked me, he says, do you know everything in the Bible? Is it all clear to you? And I said, absolutely not. Every morning it's new and it's different. And there's a growing understanding of what it means. And I can tell you personally for myself, as I watch how God works in my life, it helps me have a window of how he's working in your life. And it's just amazing that this Godhead put together this plan that sent Jesus here as a human being to go through what he went through. I can't even wrap my mind around what happened to him before he got crucified. That whole thing is just, I just can't comprehend it. First of all, I can't comprehend that we would do that to somebody. And then I have to realize that when the devil's in control of people, we are little mini demons. And even for us Christians, we take our turn occasionally allowing that type of spirit to control how we act. I go back to traffic, it's my favorite. Because there I need Christ more than anywhere else sometimes. I realize that demonic attitude when somebody cuts me off in traffic, or when I pull in front of somebody because I need to change lanes and they honk their horn, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't hurt you, get over it. And for the one behind me, I know if he had a button, he'd push it and I'd disappear. That's demonic. That's not the spirit that Christ came to show us. So even those of us who have accepted that he is who he says he was, and that he came here with a plan and they worked the plan. And we can see in Scripture that the closer Jesus came to that event, the more burdened he became. And we see that burden in the garden. He said, Father, you know, we made this plan, but right now I'm not liking it very much. Is there a workaround? Have you got another plan that we haven't talked about so that we can do this differently? And he didn't have to stay here. He said, I could call my Father, and presently there'd be 10 legions of angels. A legion is what? 1,000? Some of you have been in the military. John, is legion 1,000 in that category? I tried looking it up once. And it depends on what we're talking about. It could be anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 men. 10 legions. I think in that case, heaven would have sent everything they had. 10 times 10,000. Heaven planned it. They worked the plan. And it's a done deal. And when you're laying in your bed and you're hurting, and there seems to be no relief in sight, just think for a minute about this man Jesus hanging on that cross, nobody caring what happened to him. I can't even imagine the physical pain he must endure, and then to couple with that the fact that for the first time in his entire existence, he no longer was in contact with his Father. From all of eternity, they had been inside each other. And now, at this moment, he was totally, completely alone. Heaven wrapped the scene in darkness, because only in the darkness could God get close to his Son. He was there. The angels were there. But they couldn't allow themselves to be seen, because Jesus had to pay the price that was hung on my head. He had to experience the separation, the agony of knowing that there's no way back. Friends, today as we look at what Jesus has done for us, it gives me courage. Some people say to me, be careful when you drive your car. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have to be careful for anything. He's asked me to go. He's got it covered. And when things get bad, say your money's gone or your health's gone or whatever's happening to you, remember, these are just the birth pains before the deliverance and the appearance of the everlasting kingdom of peace. And of that kingdom, the scripture tells us, there will be no end. Are you excited for that? Is that worth telling people about? Is that sharing with people? It's amazing the people that God has touched. I came upon what looked to me like a derelict on the street the other day. He approached me and said, will you pray for me? And I'm thinking, what? Where did you come from? I never saw you before. So I prayed for him, and then he told me his story. We cannot judge a book by its cover. We cannot tell what people are like by how they look. He had experienced forgiveness and deliverance and healing in Christ. His background was a homeless person, and he was on the streets because he wanted to share his newfound friend with his other friends. Isn't that cool? I tell you something, this is about over, and God's using everybody that's willing. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be highly educated. You don't have to wear a suit or a tie. Just ask Jesus to hook you up with his friends, because he wants to. And sometimes what they need is to share with you what he's done for them. I like the piece in the book of Revelation that says, and they overcame him, that's the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's the only thing we have to share, is what he's done for me. And I can tell you, friends, as the battle continues and the deliverance continues, because if you think that it's going to get easier as you go on, I have news for you. It gets more difficult, because Jesus has already got your agreement to take the easy stuff, and now he's after the big stuff. And I don't want to get rid of that. I like that 15-pound tumor in my chest. It makes me feel, I don't know what it does. But that's like sin. It's a big tumor. He wants to remove it, and he wants to heal you. Remember that this plan wasn't Jesus' first choice, but it was the only choice. And he did that. He organized it, he orchestrated it, he ran the whole thing, and he did that for you. Why? Because he wants to spend eternity loving on you in heaven. Papa, I want to thank you this morning for the good news of your love and what love does. It's incredible to me as I continue to consider the things that are presented to us in this marvelous book called the Bible. Please continue to seep into our minds and hearts a deepening understanding of what it's all about. And that you have already known what's going to enter our lives before it comes. And you will not allow anything that won't bring us benefit somehow. Help us to trust you. We can see what you've done, and anybody that goes to that length to provide for us has to be trustworthy. No games, no gimmicks, the real deal. So thank you for blessing us again as we surrender our lives to your care and keeping. And that's a phrase that we repeat, and thank you for helping us understand that we mean it. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 478, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Please stand as we sing together.
Papa, thank you for the condescension that you show us by wanting to be with us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in us. And thank you as we leave your sanctuary, we're not leaving your presence. Take us with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Looks like we have lots of food, so stick around for the food and fellowship.